Now it's my job to bring some itsy witsy teeny little bit of insight that I can manage to bring to mind. Tonight's topic is transforming anger and fear and craving into positive manifestations. There's this idea that when the West first became aware of Buddhism, when it certainly began to be much more present in the 60s and 70s, there was this idea of the Buddhist as being something like a Mr. Spock on Star Trek. Sort of arching eyebrow. What, Kirk, this makes no sense, all this anger you're experiencing. Surely there's a logical way to go about this, which is, of course, not at all what this is about. This. I just watched a movie about the Mafia. They call it This Thing of Ours. What This Thing of Ours is about. What this thing we got here is about. Doing my Al Pacino, right? What this thing is here we got going on here. This thing, this Buddhist thing we got going is about feeling. It's about it's allowing ourselves to really feel and experience and be aware and sensitive to the energies that are going on inside us. There's this idea we have that all our experiences in life are first originate in the mind and the thoughts, and then they result in the body getting angry in agreement with us when we're outraged, when somebody says something that we don't like, or when you know, there's a sense that the mind is in control and gives birth to the rest of the experience. And actually, the way it works is the exact opposite. If you even if you don't like reading what the Buddha taught, if you like reading neuroscience, the general idea is when we make contact with experiences in the world, the first thing that happens is there's embodied contractions and tightness and energies that arise. And when we're in a good situation, we allow these energies to flow through the body, and as we become aware of them, if we're in a good place, we express in a constructive way, hey, what you just did made me feel uncomfortable, or what you just said made me feel good. If we're in an anger management or cognitive behavioral therapy, this is the pathway to prevent people from building up or repressing energy and pushing it down until we explode and do something that's very unskillful. A good analogy is sort of the, I guess, the boiler. And here my vast ignorance of all things heating and what makes houses work will become apparent, but a vastly simplified version is there's this boiler which heats up the water, and there's a pump that pumps it around, and as the water heats up, then it pressure builds and the heat is suffused out into the house via the pipes. And when there's too much pressure, there's a vent, some kind of receptacle that this pressure is released into. And this, if all things are working well, when there's this buildup of pressure before it becomes too great, we hopefully find a constructive environment with which to share, to say, hey, I'm feeling really angry or frustrated right now. You know, at work they're not listening to me. My boss is not taking how much work I have into consideration, or my relationship, the person I'm in the relationship with isn't hearing my needs, or my roommates are not taking me into consideration, or my family is making unreasonable demands. So we have this outlet, but very often in life we don't feel that we have permission to, or we put off sharing and venting and releasing this energy in a constructive way. And what happens is it builds up and it builds up, and the demands that and the obligations and the feelings that we, okay, I'll deal with this later, my boss is a schmuck, or the people I work with are schmucks, or my roommates are schmucks, or whatever is a schmuck, I'm going to deal with the schmucks later, and it builds up. And what happens is, use the analogy of a river. When a river looks really calm, it's because it's flowing. But when we dam up the river, and I'm using very, very helpful hand gestures right now for those of you that can't see it. This is the symbol for damming up the river. I'm really good with these. I'm taking the lesson from the newscasters that use their hands, like today's weather, whatever. So anyway, when we dam it up, here's the motion for the river overflowing. So there's the spilling out into areas that are, these energies should not be going. And generally what happens with anger is it builds up and it builds up, and then we explode and we want to push out this frustration and this energy, and we want somebody else to hurt like we do, or we want to push somebody away. We want to get this feeling that this frustration and this pent-up outrage is coming out of us. And the way we do it is we really want to see it manifested on somebody else. And that's how the pipes burst, the river overflows. And then there's also times when the energy is fear and we don't acknowledge our fears. And then we cling on to something for security that's not meant to give us lasting security, because we haven't shared about our fears, we haven't acknowledged the energy, we haven't given the energy a safe place to flow in the body. So it gets built up and built up, and then we cling to a relationship or somebody, the new relationship we're in, and we're, make me feel good, make me forget that the rent's high, make me forget that I have these bills that I can't pay, make me forget that I hate my job and I can't find another one and I'm scared, you know, make me forget this stuff. Or there's the possibility of there being this sexual energy or this craving for something that is short-term pleasure, like to use drugs again or to get high, drink, or to sleep with somebody that has not ever brought us lasting happiness. And so we don't acknowledge, or we greet this energy, this desire, with the sense of shaming ourselves. How could I feel this way? I've already seen that drinking or drugs or sleeping around or whatever, you know, makes me feel like shit. And then, but the shaming energy doesn't help this energy vent. What it does is it again creates this buildup of pressure, and then when it builds up, we wind up again acting out. Great story that a friend of mine who was a therapist told me. He had, back in the days when there there still are, of course, sexually transmitted diseases that are extremely dangerous, but back during the AIDS epidemic, he had a patient who was practicing completely unsafe sex on a regular basis in a way that was made the guy feel really ashamed. And he kept on then greeting this with the sense of shame and the sense of outrage at himself. And of course, this outrage that he was greeting the energy with kept it dammed up, and then he would explode the very next day again and again and again and act out on it. And the therapist, my friend, said to him, well, just for this weekend, since you're going to do it anyway, just give yourself permission to say hi to this energy and act out on it, and just don't feel ashamed. And the next, on Monday, after 3 days, when the guy called him up, it was the first time in months that he didn't act out on it. Because he was given permission to simply feel and greet and not be ashamed of it, and just to greet and allow this energy to flow and accept it as being a human being, rather than to greet it with the sense of, it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong, stay down, go away, you're not welcome here. So there's this part of the process is the way we greet the energy in the body and these desires and these impulses, not creating this damning effect, how dare I? Not putting it away, you know, postponing. I can't afford to feel frustrated now. I'm at work and I've got to deal with these people, and I'm not allowed to go away and just call up somebody and acknowledge the fact that I'm pissed off. Or the third is, of course, when it builds up, then allowing it to explode in ways that we then regret. So all those three strategies don't work. The Buddha, though, did have a practice that did work. When his cousin Devadatta tried to kill him, he did express in a very clear, very energetic, very forceful way, this is wrong. What you're doing is totally unskillful. But the Buddha's mind was, as the Buddha explained, when he said, you're trying to poison me, but my mind is big enough that this little thing that you've done is not going to take me over. I can feel the energy, I can feel the frustration, but it's not going to take me over. What he used the analogy then is of the putting a pot of poison into the ocean. And he said, if you put a pot of poison into the ocean, it's not gonna ruin the ocean because the amount of water is so great. So if we keep the body relaxed and the mind from contracting around the outrage and just making ourselves shrink around these stories of how we've been abused and victimized or there's something wrong, when we keep the mind much more spacious and the body more spacious, there's a safe place for us to experience our frustrations, our desires, our impulses, our energies. There's three parts of this process. The very first part is to allow the thoughts or the stories, put them aside for a little while, and do what we did in the meditation, which is to bring the awareness to the breath and the manifestation of this impulse as it arises as an energy in the body. Whenever we have an impulse to do anything, something gets contracted and tight. Whether it's a desire to use or a desire to tell somebody off or a desire to, have sex or anything, any impulse, even a seemingly useful, safe, wonderful thing like sexual energy, it's worth doing this practice for. Because sometimes there's times when you want to have sex with somebody, it's not a great idea. It's funny. The thing about this culture we live in is that we're told that either your job, because it's New York, or your sexual experiences, or your art, your blog, these are supposed to be the highest achievements of your life. And so if you have an okay job, but it's not giving endless sense of fulfillment and purpose to your life, then you can feel like, oh shit, I got this friend, and they're a stylist for a cool magazine. They keep on saying how they get to travel, and meet cool people, and look at me, I suck, you know. I don't have this, my job isn't giving me lasting fulfillment. And there's the same energy we bring into sex, which is wonderful. But, you know, you have sex, and then you got the other 23 and a half hours of the day, and if you're not one of those, you know, if you're not one of those people that say, oh, I'm a very sexual being, that's where I express myself, it's all working out for me, you know. I mean, great for you, but, you know, even if they really do feel it's the way, they're eventually going to hit 40 or 50, and there's going to be, you're going to realize, okay, this is not the lasting fulfillment of your life, at least I hope not, you know. So, but we bring all this expectation even into the skillful energies, like, you know, really become successful, really, you know, be expressive in sex, and we bring all this expectation, and then when it doesn't work out, then we become very frustrated. So it's helpful to bring this kind of practice even to energies that feel really safe to act out on. So the first thing we do is we bring the awareness to the body, and we see how it manifests, and we greet it. There's an analogy in the Buddhist teachings of if there's ever a wild elephant rampaging, and apparently during the Buddhist time that was a significant problem. Really, there's like so many suttas of wild elephants that apparently this was an epidemic. And so the Buddha said, you don't send out people to argue with the elephant or try to get in its way or to reason with it or to shame it, because they're going to get run over. What you do instead is you find an elephant that has been used to being around people and has been fed by people, and apparently then they didn't keep them locked up in zoos. They had elephants that were to a certain degree rendered tame enough or gentle enough to be around people, and they would be fed, and occasionally they would help move things, but they weren't kept locked up. And so they would release a gentle elephant out to bring food to the wild elephant, and eventually these two elephants, the tamer one and the wild one, would roam around together, and eventually each day as the tamer one brought food and hung out with it and brought its energy to the wild elephant, eventually the wild elephant, so the metaphor goes, would become gentler and gentler, and then eventually would be brought into a more coexistent mode with other beings. Whether or not this is actually the way they actually did it, I have no idea. But the metaphor is that we don't greet these urges with shaming or trying to say what's wrong with me or how could I want to do this or, you know, oh my God, I'm frustrated, but, you know, this is wrong or whatever. Or we don't push it away. What we do is we greet the energy by building or bringing to it in the body very peaceful, relaxed spaces around it. So if the stomach's really tight out of anger, we relax the chest and the buttocks and the thighs and the arms and the throat so that everything around this manifestation of anger is peaceful and calm. So we're greeting anger in the body with a sense of peace or a sense of calmness. We're greeting it. If it's the breath that's really constricted and tight, then we practice releasing the muscles and the areas around it. So rather than first try to make it go away, we relax the area around it. Now, if we're really feeling that we're going to act out on this energy and this, we're going to do something that's very destructive, we're going to quit our job, we're going to dump our relationship because of some thing. We feel this impulse, and we can, of course, do all these things. We can quit our jobs. You can dump your partner. You can do anything you want. But if you want to have an alternative or be able to first take a break before you act out on it, what's helpful is to either A, the Buddha said, develop a sense of skillful samvega, a sense of reminding yourself of the last time you acted out without stopping and thinking and reflecting and being calm and releasing the body. Reflect on that, and rather than developing anger or shame at ourselves, we just develop the sense of, oh, the last time I acted out without relaxing, the results were that I did something that was unskillful. And there's a sense of shame, not at ourselves, because we know that we're capable of infinite peace and wisdom and acting in different ways. There's just a sense of distrust and dismay at the action itself. So it's not about us anymore. It's just, okay, the last time I did this, it didn't turn out so well. I'm going to remind myself of that. Another thing that works is have somebody that's your outlet, your steam vent, and really just have that one person or two people that you can really feel safe to going to, whether it's a therapist or a 12-step sponsor or a wise practitioner in the spiritual path, and then just bring that energy so that there's some outlet. As we move along and we've greeted the physical energy and the impulse, the next thing we do is we then try to make sure that the mind itself, our awareness, doesn't collapse around this energy, this impulse, this frustration, this anger, this craving, this thing that we want to act out on. And the way we do this is by keeping the mind aware of what's happening in the present, the sounds around us, the sensations of our seated or standing, awareness of the body, awareness of other sensations that are entering, so the mind doesn't collapse and shrink. Because the smaller the mind becomes, the more pressure we feel. There's this analogy of Chinese Buddhists use of, if you bring a leaf up to your eyes, the leaf can look bigger than the moon. But if you pull the leaf away, then you get a proper sense of perspective. It's the same thing with our problems, our challenges, our issues. If we fill up the mind or the mind shrinks around it, it can seem the most important thing ever. But if we keep the mind expansive, spacious, we keep a sense of other things going on, a sense of ourselves being connected to the body, a sense of other thoughts or issues or anything else that keeps the mind expansive, then we don't collapse around it. And this is very, very helpful. Because again, we're giving a safe place now not only for the energy, but for the moods to arise and pass. It's very helpful when we're doing this to acknowledge what mood we're in. So if I'm in anger, just saying to myself, I'm angry right now. Or if I'm in craving, just I'm experiencing this real strong desire. Or if we're in fear, I'm really frightened. If we can't even find somebody to share that with, just acknowledging it out loud to ourselves, manifesting it, becoming aware, so that that too keeps us from collapsing again and shrinking the mind around this impulse. Just acknowledging it keeps enough of a distance that we can watch this impulse of wanting to quit our job, quit the relationship, yell at our boss, whatever. We're keeping enough of a safe distance that we have a chance to decide whether we want to act out on this or not. Finally, when we get to the realm of thoughts and how to relate to thoughts, there's two strategies. The first is, again, if we feel that even though we've been working with relaxing the body and keeping the mind aware and spacious and acknowledging the mood we're in, if there's still this desire to act out, there are times, there's places we can channel this energy constructively. I have a friend that writes these extremely gory horror movies that are never going to be made, but they just are this outlet for all this rage. And they're actually, from what I've heard from him, they sound really funny. You know, basically half of the people in his life get, you know, disemboweled. And he's, but it's a safe outlet. You know, it's not taking it out or channeling it in a unskillful way. It's a creative endeavor. A more skillful, or I'd say at least certainly as skillful way, though, is to greet this thought with a reflection that infuses it, was the word I was looking for, with a proper reflection that channels it in a different way. This kind of reflection is remembering that we've achieved peace through our practice, through our meditation, reflecting that we've achieved a sense of release from being generous with other people. We've achieved a sense of security at times by being generous or virtuous, by helping someone else, by calling up a friend, and by talking and sharing and hearing what's going on in their lives. We've achieved a sense of release. And when we reflect on this, and we greet this energy with this reflection, when we then let this energy out, it becomes transformed into a energy that's more useful. Instead of it coming out as give me what I want, or take that, or get the fuck away from me, or, you know, give me security or whatever, it becomes this energy that is fueling compassion or fueling a sense of connectedness. Because we've reflected in our lives that the way we've achieved that release in the past wasn't through hurting someone or wasn't through taking what isn't offered or acting out. It's been by connecting with others in a way that's fruitful. So, but again, the process is always body first before we get to this level of reflection. It's always first making the vessel of the body as expansive and calm and serene an environment, so that whatever energies and impulses arise, there's a safe, there's not a squelching, there's not a pushing away, there's not a shaming ourselves. There's a feeling, a sensitivity, an awareness, an observing of it. There's an acknowledgement of it with ourselves and others. There's a venting of it, whether creatively or by expressing it with somebody that we know we can share with. And eventually, as these energies become more and more muted and controllable, then we can transfuse them with proper guidance and reflection, so that, like the Buddha or like the monks I've studied with, rather than acting out of frustration and rage, we are able to talk in a very energized but correct way. We don't run away from conflict, but we don't go into conflict exploding and yelling and being unable to hear what the other person is saying. So, that's tonight's talk about how to transform impulses into skillful outlets. Hope there was something in there. And now it's your turn to share about any thoughts that have come up.